It is our privilege to be here this evening. We've enjoyed getting to speak with some of you already, and we've seen friends from years past, lots of people we know, even though I've actually never been on campus here before. But it's very nice, and it's our privilege, and we thank you for the invitation. We've been doing music together for a long time. Since we've been married, we played programs here and there, and we were raised, both of us, in independent Baptist preachers' homes, and music was always an important part of what we did. And it's a blessing to be able to get out and play and hopefully try to direct your attention to the subject matter and the text of these hymns that we're going to be doing. And that's an important thing for us. We always want to reference the text as we go along and have you keep those things fresh in your minds. Many of the songs that we will be playing are probably things that you sing on a regular basis. They all are older hymns from the hymnal. And I've grown up playing the saxophone. I've played, I guess, since I was about 9 years old. My wife, when did you start harp?
From eight.
So we've been playing for quite a while, piano before that. We do try to produce those nice sounds, the nice tone that Mr. Ream was talking about. Though I have this special button on the side of my instrument. If I see people falling asleep, I'll get that harsh, annoying saxophone sound that he talked about. So I'm keeping an eye on you. I might just switch it right over. If I did that, though, I suppose that by the end of the concert, I might be one of the musicians that is not his friend, so he could figure out how that goes. But in all seriousness, I do appreciate Dwayne having us. He's a friend and a colleague for quite a few years now, and it's always nice to have excuses to get back together and cut up and have a good time. So we're going to keep moving here. The next arrangement is a harp solo of Fairest Lord Jesus. This next arrangement we're going to do is one that we actually did for the first time this last week at our church in Taylor, South Carolina. We had a group of you guys come to our church a couple months back, and so we're seeing some of your familiar faces from that. But this was a number that we were putting together for church last Sunday. And this is a hymn that's a special one for me. In the home church that I grew up in, up in Minnesota, every time we had an invitation, we used the same song. And it's this one, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea." And in this arrangement, I go through the first verse, and then we have a little interlude section in the middle, and then we have one more verse. And this is a this was an arrangement in which I was trying to really capture the simplicity and the humility that the text makes me think of. You know, you don't have to think too long about your own sinful condition and all the things that God saved you from to have some humility. And it's so amazing to think that God reached down to us and saved us when all we deserve is his judgment. And those are the kinds of things that I think about when we do an arrangement like this. These next few pieces that we're going to do are all focused on salvation and that moment in time. And I feel strongly that even if you don't remember the day on the calendar, you should be able to remember the event. And for me, it was when I was 10 years old. Of course, many of us that have grown up in church, you hear the gospel frequently and you know kind of how it all goes. But there was a particular time for me when it really dawned on me that I was a wicked sinner. And that took some time because if you're raised in a home where you're not necessarily allowed to go out and do what the world would call a bunch of bad stuff, sometimes you can easily think of yourself as being, you know, a pretty good kid and not getting in trouble and being more or less a good person. But that time when it really hits you that you are in fact a wicked sinner before God is when you're ready to be saved. And this next song describes that very idea. Since I have been redeemed. This next arrangement is one, I think one of the last times I played it, actually, Mr. Ream played it with me. We did it in a service in Greenville, and I was recalling that just this afternoon. The scripture that I often think of for this hymn, which is My Savior's Love, Psalm 8 says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor." And that wonder is something that's referenced here in the first verse. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Thank you. So the next piece we're going to do is a harp solo. It's actually really nice having my wife run back and forth and do solos. She gets all the exercise, and then I get to go take a break, which I kind of need. I should mention, again, that meal was really amazing. It was almost too amazing because I've got lots of great food in my stomach. My lungs are struggling to find room in there with all that good chicken in there, but it was very good. Thank you again to those that prepared it. This next arrangement is spiritual. I actually don't know when the tune was originally written. Give me Jesus. The text says, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Dark midnight was my cry, is the second verse, give me Jesus. And the last verse, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Thank you. Now Mariah is going to play an arrangement that I did a few years ago, and the song is Face to Face. It's been a joy for me over the last, I guess it's been over 20 years now that I've been either in college or working with college students. I didn't really know when I first got to my undergraduate that I would probably never leave college, at least not for a long time, but that's the way it's been. I went from being a student for 10 years to teaching for the next 13, and it's a privilege, and I guess if I didn't like it, I'd leave, but I love it, and it's enjoyable, and I want to take the opportunity, if I can, to encourage you guys. I don't know what year in school you are. I guess many of you are probably working on four-year degrees, and maybe you've got a ways to go. And there's a point in there where sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. You walk to a class, and the thought that's in your head is, okay, how am I going to use this in 10 years or 15 years or whatever? How do I need that seemingly obscure piece of information? And sometimes when you're going through it, it's hard to connect all those dots and have a good idea of what it's going to do for you in the future. But what I always try to encourage my students with is the idea that what we're really doing here is we are attempting to be the best stewards we can of the gifts that God has given us and the minds he's given us. And that takes a lot of different shapes. It could be working on something like a musical instrument or some sort of artistic skill. It could be getting a better understanding of the Bible or improving your overall worldview. It could be something else, maybe more particular to some sort of secular career. But regardless of what it is, I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Hang in there. You've got good teachers who are putting a lot into you. And the interesting thing that I always find is that you never, ever know what you're going to be doing with the skills, the things that you've been working to steward. You never know what that's going to mean for your future. Even if you think you have your crosshairs set on a really particular career field, God could easily direct you elsewhere, or he could have you doing that thing, but in some little part of it or some little thing that you never anticipated, using this other skill that you didn't know you'd need. And I can tell you, when I was in your shoes, I had no idea I'd be teaching music theory. I was like, oh man, good thing I got done with those theory classes. Now I don't have to worry about that again. Or I could just do it for a career. And those are the kinds of ways that God often changes what we thought our path was. But hang in there, because what you'll find is that obviously you have a completely different skill set. You have a different set of interests and aptitudes and talents that God has given you that he hasn't given somebody else. And, you know, how many people go around the country playing saxophone and harp duets? Not very many. In fact, I bet this is the best saxophone and harp concert you'll hear all week, right? We all have our little niche that's kind of weird. It's quirky because it's just your little combination of skills. But those are the ways that God uses us. And I'm thankful for what you guys are putting in to your own stewardship, your own minds and your own talents that God's given you. And I encourage you to keep up the good work. We're going to keep going here. Jesus, I am resting, resting is a hymn that's been a blessing to me for many years. The first verse says, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. And I find that for myself, it's easy to say I trust God, but a good measure or meter of how much I'm trusting God really is how much peace and joy I have. If I'm just tense and worried and stressed out all the time, that would be a good way of me knowing that I'm not trusting God as much as I ought to be. And especially in the crazy world that we live in, this is a good reminder for me. Michelle, my wife, is going to play an arrangement of an old hymn. We don't sing this hymn quite so often in church these days. I think we should. It's one of my favorites, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." We've got one more number we're going to do tonight, but before we play, I wanted to mention a word about the table we have set up over here. Since we've been married, we've done 4 recordings, and the first one we did features mostly saxophone and piano, actually, with a few other instruments in a kind of a chamber ensemble setting, and then the next one was harp, and then we've done a couple of recordings in the last 6 or 7 years, I suppose, that are more orchestrated. So they featured some of the pieces that you've heard tonight, but with more orchestra and other sorts of accompaniment. And so we've got those over there. And if no other reason than to satisfy my curiosity, how many of you young people actually have a means of playing a CD these days? I'm just curious. That's pretty good. That's not bad. I expected fewer of you, actually, so I thought maybe I'd be up here trying to sell Frisbees or coasters or something, which if you don't have a CD player, come pick up a Frisbee. We aim to please one way or another. But we also have some arrangement books. I have a few different instruments that I've arranged some of the things I write for, including violin and flute and saxophone and clarinet, and there's some harp and trumpet stuff there as well. So stop by. We'd love to say hello afterwards if you have time to greet us. And again, thank you so much for having us. It's really a privilege to be here. We appreciate you folks, appreciate your testimony and the good work that you're doing up here. We're going to finish tonight with an arrangement of Sing Praise to God. And this is another one of the hymns that I really enjoy. And I would say the last phrase of the text is the one I'm kind of keying on. The first verse, though, says, "Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul he fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God all praise and glory." And so that last phrase, "to God all praise and glory," I develop as we go through the song. The second verse, I repeat that phrase twice. And then the last verse, I repeat it three times to end the piece.